Listen and stream the all-new talk radio, Freedom 106.5, for the only talk that matter.
We do have an interview at this point in time. For several weeks, we've been discussing financial literacy and some of the things that we really need to know. This morning, we get back into such discussions. And discussions this morning. Let's welcome to our program someone who is going to give us an insight in some of these things. This morning we'll be speaking about the importance of home insurance. Let's welcome to our show this morning insurance advisor Nicole Chaitan-Kisun. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Satish.
Good morning to you and welcome to our program. Nice to have you with us here this morning. It's a topic that I think it impacts on everyone. Once you own a home or you think of owning a home, and we all live somewhere, so it definitely applies to everyone. This is information that I think everybody should have. As we begin, as we usually do, let me give you the opportunity to familiarize our listeners with you. Tell us a bit about yourself and some of the things that you're involved in.
Sure. So I'm an insurance advisor. That's what you said. I've been in the insurance industry for going on 6 years now. This is something that I chose to do intentionally because I was looking for a way to more directly impact people that I worked with, which is not what was going on in my first career. So I'm involved in all lines of insurance. My business is in protecting what you have already acquired, protecting the progress that you've made already for yourself and for your family. So the first part of acquiring wealth is what people are mostly concerned with, going out, working, getting the salary, getting that paycheck, and building up your assets. But the second part of building wealth is my wheelhouse. That's keeping what you've earned, protecting what you have.
It sounds pretty interesting. This morning, we are discussing, in particular, the importance of home insurance. It would seem straightforward, the topic home insurance, and there are some people who may need some kind of clarification as to exactly what are we talking about, how does one go about insuring their home, and all of these things. Where do we begin? How about what is homeowners insurance, to start the discussion, and what does it cover in general?
Well, homeowners insurance is the promise that you can be put back into the position that you are at in respect of your home, the condition of your home and the use of it, if something happens that's unexpected that causes a loss. So homeowners insurance is what we do to make sure that if something happens that damages your home or causes a total loss of your home, we're talking about the common perils that everyone worries about, things like fire, flooding, earthquake, damage to your property from a vehicle crashing into your yard, all of those things. Homeowners insurance is meant to put you back into a position as if that loss never happened. So it's meant to indemnify you.
That's an interesting one that you raised there, because usually when we think of homeowners insurance, we think of fire or flood, not much else. But what, because you spoke about a car running into your house and that kind of thing, many people may not think that homeowners insurance covers things like those.
But it does.
Explain to us some of the other things that would be covered, I'm assuming natural disasters and everything else, under homeowners insurance.
Yep. There's a much wider range of, we call them perils, that your homeowners insurance can cover. So it's not just the flooding, the fire. It's acts of God, things that happen like hurricanes, earthquakes. But then there's more that people don't think of. That's things that happen that people cause, but you can't control and you don't know how to predict. So there's a riot, there's a strike, there's a fight, and your home is damaged. Your homeowners insurance can help you cover that cost. If there's flooding and causes landslips and erosion that's sudden and damages the foundation of your home, your homeowner's insurance can cover that. And I've had the experience, for example, someone driving home drunk in the morning. At what hour of the night, you hear a loud bang that wakes you up from sleep, and all of a sudden there's a gaping hole in your concrete wall outside your home. Your homeowner's insurance can help you cover all sorts of things like that, including more coverage like that. That's just covered damage to the property, but it can cover more than that, including the things you have in your home, including losses that happen if someone gets damaged at your home. So much more.
So let's just say I've taken the decision on my own that, listen, I need some kind of insurance. When I'm taking out a policy, would I have to specify what I want insurance against? Are there packages that identify for me as a one-stop shop? Once I just take all this, I'm covered for everything. How does it work?
All right, now, the thing with homeowners insurance is people too often think of it just like they do with car insurance, that they'll come to an insurance company or an insurance agent and they just want the cheapest price that they can pay for the homeowner's insurance. But your home is a very personal thing. Your home for most people is the most valuable asset that they're ever going to own. So your homeowner's insurance needs to be just as personal. You need to build that relationship with your agent because you do have to declare to them what's important to you about being able to protect for your home. Did you spend a whole lot of money on the wrought iron fencing around your home and it's your pride? Or did you take the time and you don't care so much about the outside of your home, but the inside is important. It's comfortable for you and your family. It feels luxurious. Then we need to focus on the contents. You do definitely need to talk to your agent about what is valuable to you in your home. Have them come and see the place and talk to you about everything that you can cover.
Let's talk about cost. What does home insurance cost?
It's a one-by-one basis. It's not as costly as some people will think. And it's going to depend on what you want, because with insurance, as with anything else, what you get is what you pay for. My grandmother used to say, good things not cheap and cheap things not good.
Mm-hmm.
Insurance is the same thing. So there are different types of coverage as well. The more you want to be covered for, the premium will start to climb. If, for example, and it depends on what is going on in the home. Someone who's paying for a home where it's just your residence, that's where you and your family live, it's a private home, nothing else is going on, your rates are going to be different than someone who lives upstairs and you have a roti shop downstairs and you have a room with four or five crackers or burners and they're on all the time, and that's going to be more of a risk, right? What types of risks you have and the likelihood of damage happening to your home is what will affect your premium.
But let's give people a ballpark figure. Let's take an average family dwelling, three-bedroom upstairs house with all the usual appliances that you would have, nothing ostentatious. It's the usual, you know, a stove, a fridge, the AC, and all of that kind of thing. In a residential area, let's put it in a place so that we can identify property value and all of those kinds of things. What could house insurance, home insurance look like when it comes to premiums?
Not going to be that much. If you start out just with the bare bones of covering the property itself, you might be talking about maybe $4,000 for the year.
Okay. That's actually an interesting figure. When you think about the losses one can incur when you have these unfortunate acts. I've actually been to homes where people lost everything from fire. And not necessarily the modest little structures with people who, for $4,000, that'd be out of their reach, but persons who have well-established homes. And when you ask the first question, well, are you insured? The answer that you get is most times, no.
No.
I don't know if you would have the information, but what percentage of homes in this country are insured?
I don't have that information on me, but I can tell you it's not going to come up to the majority of persons, because it's just as you say, you ask the majority and they'll say no. And it's for two reasons. It's one, because like I said, we focus so much on trying to build the wealth and have the nice home and the nice vehicle, and then either completely forget or don't know enough about the second part, which is protecting your wealth. Or the second reason is the stigma that is attached to all kinds of insurance, even and including home insurance, that people will believe it's a scam and it's not worth it. But the problem with that is a complete misunderstanding of what insurance is. People want to believe insurance has to be an investment, so that if you put $4,000 into something for the year, you have to get it back. But insurance isn't about that. Home insurance, like any other type, is about covering a risk.
In other parts,
that you're going to suffer a loss.
Would I be correct to say that in other parts of the world, home insurance is mandatory?
It could be. I wouldn't be surprised at all. Mm-hmm. The only type of insurance people look at and will know they have to get locally is you have to get vehicle insurance, because you'll get charged if you're on the road.
Do you think?
Without it.
we've spoken to persons from the fire services, and they've lamented the number of fires that we have, which is actually quite a lot. We don't hear them reported, and in many instances, fire services contain them, even though they have a bad rap. But we spoke about, with the fire services, legislation. Especially around Christmas time, you see people doing all kind of outlandish things that get them in a lot of problems. Do you think that if we move, whether it's going to happen or not, if we move to a situation where there is some sort of legislated mandatory insurance for homeowners, I know that, and we'll get into this a little later on for mortgages and all that kind of thing, but if we were to do that, do you think that might be a step in the right direction? Or do you think it's going to be a lot of opposition to something like that?
I think there's definitely going to be a lot of opposition to that. People will not react well to having what they see only as an expense imposed on them. But I think there are situations where it should be mandatory. I mean, a quote-unquote homeowner who's really a landowner, who's a landlord, let's say, who's renting out a space. That's everyone's ideal retirement plan these days. You put up a building, have rent some apartments, and you go. I think I've seen it happen where small apartment buildings like that, homes that have units in them that are rented out, it burns to the ground and all of a sudden the tenants are left with nothing. And that could and should be avoided, where if you are offering a building for rent, you're offering a space for people to live and they're paying you something for it, there should be a guarantee that you're paying something to make sure that if a loss happens because somebody renting upstairs they have no control over causes a fire and everyone loses everything, that they can be indemnified.
Yeah, we're talking about insurance, and I don't mean to nullify the discussion, but we have a real problem getting home landlords to abide by the rent assessment board and their guidelines when it comes to rent. I can only imagine what it must be like when it comes to some of these apartment buildings that are built with private funds and people not going to financial institutions, because qualifying for homeowners insurance. And let's just take the private instance where you have your home, your family, mm-hmm. and then you have these commercial, for want of a different term, residential buildings. I know that businesses, many businesses would be more inclined to have some sort of insurance to cover their business for the obvious reason. And they see the value in it because of the investment that they make and protecting the investment, which is exactly what you're talking about. But when it comes to the homeowners, and the small establishments, somebody who have one apartment, two apartments, what does somebody need to qualify for homeowners insurance?
Well, people have this misconception that you don't need to insure your home unless you own the property. And by and large, that is necessary because you have to own the property for you to suffer a loss if there's damage to it. So you need the deed to be in your name, right? Because if a claim is made, if a home is damaged because of a fire or because of anything else, the check's going to be made out to the person in whose name the deed is, right? But that doesn't mean that you'd have to throw your hands in the air if you're renting and say, well, I can't get anything, I don't own the property. It's possible for you as a renter to insure what you have ownership of. You can insure your contents, your fridge, your furniture, you have electronics in your apartment, people work from home these days and have all types of computer and electronic equipment. You can insure all of those things, whether or not you own the property.
Somebody just sent some information saying that in the US, homeowners insurance is mandatory. And that's why I asked the question, because I was of that opinion as well. There are some other issues that we need to deal with and some other information we need to get out to our listeners. And apart from the qualifying, we went into great detail with the types of homeowners insurance. Let's just repeat that for persons who may have missed it if we didn't get into great detail. The types of homeowners insurance that are available.
Okay, well, most properties will fall, when we talk about homeowners, right? Not property insurance for business, but for homeowners insurance, most people are going to fall into one of two categories, which is just either a comprehensive homeowners insurance, which insures the buildings, the outbuildings around it. If you have a garden shed or studio, something else like that on the property where you live, the walls, the fencing around you also can include liability types of coverage if someone is damaged on your property and a range of other things. That's when it's just a private dwelling. The second type is basically a fire and theft type of policy. That's the situation where we know, we see it, it's commonplace that you live upstairs, you have your business downstairs, or you live upstairs and you're renting out commercial spaces downstairs, right?
Okay. There are several scenarios that persons might find themselves in. What about if my home is next to an establishment that may engage in activity that I consider risky, that somehow or the other could impact on my home and my property one way or the other? Can I insure against the damage like that?
Sure. This is where, again, it's going to come down to the understanding that insurance is personal for your home, because your home, where it's situated and what kind of risks the insurance company will have to accept in order to insure your home will be different from anyone else's. So let's say you live next to or close to some kind of industrial operation. One, it is going to affect what your premium is, right? Because it's going to depend on how do the operations of this neighboring business affect your property. Is there a higher risk of flood because of what they're doing? Is there a higher risk of fire because of what they're doing, right? An insurance company is going to assess what the risks are to your property relative to properties generally in your area, right? So it's not to say that, no, you can't get insurance, but your rate may be different, right? And the most important thing is that you're truthful about what the risks are. Don't say you're going to feel good because you found an insurance agent who's going to come and tick no on your insurance application that this risk isn't there and that risk isn't there, when the truth is that it is. Because when a claim has to be made, there will be another investigation. And if you're found to have been dishonest, then claims get denied.
I think that's a big one people should take into consideration, because we often hear people complaining that their insurance claim was denied, and they seldom ever tell you, well, why it was denied. And I know that one for sure is one that factors greatly into what takes place. We have some messages sent into our message to our WhatsApp. That's 3061065. And for those of you listening in, if you have questions that you'd like to ask, feel free to join the discussion on 627-3223. And 625-2257, we are speaking with insurance advisor Nicole Chaitan Kisun, discussing the issue of home insurance. In this country, we have something that happens many times for the year, and whenever it does, people always raise the issue of insurance. That's floods. I think we have a call. Before we get to that, let's see who's here. Hello, good morning.
Hi, morning. Am I live?
Yes, you are.
Okay, I have a question. What if you're covering your property insurance, what determines the value? And, you know, if you have a total loss, can there be indiscrepancies there?
Sure. So what determines the, what are you asking exactly? What determines the value
I'm
of the
assuming
property?
He's asking who valuates the property to determine how much somebody could be insured for, and if there is a claim afterwards, what does somebody get? Do they get the full value of the policy, or how does it work?
Right. Okay. So this is very important. When it comes down to it, the person who determines how much the home gets insured for is the homeowner, right? Now, different companies, different policies, places will have different procedures as far as sending a valuator or not. But how much you insure your home for is up to you as the homeowner. What's important is that you get that right. Because if you try to insure your house for less than it's actually worth, let's say you built that typical three-bedroom kind of thing, nice area, your property is actually valued, let's say around 1.5 million, something like that. But you decide that the premium is too high and you're going to insure it for less. So you only insure it for $750,000. If there's a total loss, there's no way that you are going to be able to get from an insurance company enough to rebuild your home or recoup the loss from your home, right? If you're underinsured, there will be consequences. And that's something that you have to be aware of. You have to know going in that you're going to insure your home for what it's worth. And nobody knows that better than a homeowner. You've paid the purchase price. You paid for every brick and bag of cement to build your home. You know what it's worth. You know what it cost you, and you know what it'll cost you to replace it. So it's important that you insure it for that value, right?
Mm. Okay, let's take another call. Hello, good morning.
Good morning, Satish. Good morning to your guests. The question of home insurance. Now, I know there are many persons with disabilities or elderly persons living by themselves, and obtaining a home insurance because of the disability, they might be discriminated against. Remember, today's World No Discrimination Day. Because I know people, apart from home insurance, who try to obtain, as persons with disabilities, who try to obtain life insurance, and 90% of the companies, if not all, reject you because they think that disability is a big risk. And as a result, they deny you that right. So what about home insurance? Because there are some people who live by themselves, they have their own home, etc. They may own property, and therefore, when they come to assess, they might say, well, look, you're at risk because you have a disability and you can't run fast enough, or you can't this and you can't that, or you go be careless. But I want to ask the question, and here's something for consideration. How many homes, she may not be able to answer it, how many homes in Trinidad and Tobago you hear that get burned down by persons, on behalf or by persons with disabilities? Thanks.
Thank you for your call.
No. Caller, that's a confusion of two different instances, right? Now, maybe that's for another segment if Satish is willing to have me back. But personal insurance, life insurance, disability coverage, those kinds of things are completely different ballpark than home insurance, right? The only similarity is that they're about risk. And so when we're talking about home insurance, whether or not you're going to be able to get the home insurance is going to depend on what the risk is of there being damage to the home. That has nothing to do with a person living alone or whether the occupant has a disability or not. The risk of what kind of damage could happen to the home depends on how well it's built, what area it's in, what goes on immediately surrounding it, how it's maintained, right? So who lives in the property, or if they live alone or not, whether they're sick, whether they're elderly or a brand new first-time homeowner, that doesn't affect the risks that there will be of damage to the property. So it's not going to affect whether or not a person can qualify for homeowners insurance.
Let's take another call. Hello, good morning.
Hi, good morning, Satish. Marval calling you. I would like the goodly lady here that you're speaking to explain to the population the average clause on their homeowner's policy. And secondly, this one is not relating to homeowner's insurance policy, but the motor insurance policy. Do you know that if you have a full comprehensive insurance policy and you make a claim on your insurance for an accident, they do not reimburse you for new parts that you would purchase from the dealers to purchase your vehicle from, but they would pay you the equivalent of the parts from the bamboo? Could she answer those two questions for the population? These are things that people need to know also. Thank you very much, Satish.
Okay. Thank you so much for your call.
So I'm not too sure what a caller means by clause. I'm going on the impression that he's probably talking about excess. And that's something that most people don't know, that homeowners insurance can have an excess the same way that your vehicle insurance can. So let's say you've insured your home and you have an excess of $3,000 on the home. The purpose of those things is to weed out one of two situations. The first being adverse selection, persons who keep a home in poor condition and are more likely to have to make claims for small things like damage happening. And then the second thing is that there's a tendency to come in to want to make claims for all kinds of small damages to the home. The excess is meant to wean those out and make a person accountable to the maintenance and protection of their own home as they are getting homeowners insurance. So the excess is for things like happen, like your house, you bought a new house, some settling happened, and there's some minor little hairline cracks in the mortar, for example. That might cost you maybe $300, $350 to fix it or something. You're not gonna come into your homeowners insurance to make a claim to fix that, because your excess is going to try to weed out those small situations, right? Because the excess may be a couple thousand that you need to put into repairs to the home if there's damage before the insurance starts paying. Yeah?
Okay. 627-322-3625-2257 if you have more persons wanting to join the conversation, ask your questions. Before we went to those, I was raising the issue. Somebody sent a message here asking about floods and what kind of insurance is available to... They started off with homeowners and they extended it to farmers. I don't know if you'd have the information on farmers, but when it comes to floods and homeowners, what's available?
Well, this is the thing with homeowners insurance, that people will, if you take out an insurance policy and all you insure is your home itself, the building, right? This is a mistake that we make when we think about flooding. If all you've done is insure the building, how much damage usually will happen when there's a flood? The water levels rises, there's some mud washes into your yard. Really, to get the house itself, the floors, the walls, the back into shape, you need a pressure washing and to scrub out some of that mud and be okay. But when flooding happens, what people are actually worried about and what they actually will lose is what they have in their house, the things that make it a home. Your couch isn't usable. There was flood water through the whole thing. Your TV was damaged. You keep it on a low stand. That's your contents. Content insurance is something that you have to specify in your homeowner's insurance. You even have different categories. You have general contents like the furniture and the fixtures, things like that. Then you have other specific categories for things like electronics and computer equipment, even jewelry that you keep in your home. That content insurance is the important thing for you to pay attention to if your main concern is flooding. Because most of the time, and I'm not saying it can't happen, it can, a whole house can be washed away by a flood. But most of the time when rainy season comes and people didn't clean a drain properly, it's because there's flooding that damages what you have in your home. So if your content insurance isn't right in your homeowner's policy, you're not going to get back to where you want to be.
We've seen the images and we've heard the stories about the losses that people have incurred. And you're right. It's very seldom the structure being damaged, but persons losing everything on the inside. Bed, fridge, stove, every single thing that you could think about is gone. To the point where you have a furniture store that now offers flood insurance with purchases. And because they've identified the need for such, I assume, and the frequency with which people lose their items and probably have problems to pay back the institution for the things that they've lost. Sometimes they just take it out, flood comes and hits and you're in problems. And somebody sent a message saying that there are two types of insurance: homeowners, which is building and contents if you own the property, and householders, which is contents only. And I'm assuming that is further clarification to what we're talking about making sure that when you take out a policy, that it covers to any eventuality that may arise in that.
Exactly.
Well, if the structure is damaged because it cracked as a result of the shift in land because of floods or whatever else, that's catered for. And also, if your TV, your fridge, your stove, your washing machine and your couch and everything gets damaged as well, that you do have the ability to claim for those. And let me ask you a question here, because somebody's asking a pretty interesting one about the different types of excesses. Let's just say I have homeowner's insurance. I insure my house, I insure all the contents inside, and I get flood 3 years in a row. What am I entitled to?
Well, insurance, remember, is done for a period. Most typically, homeowners insurance is done on a yearly basis. So you pay a premium and you're covered for a year at a time. Now, year one passes, you've had no claims, no damage has happened to your home, you didn't make any claim. You're going to renew probably at the same rate that you paid for the first year. You have an agent who negotiates for you. Maybe you might get it a little bit less. We'll see, right? Year two comes and there's massive flooding and you've had to make serious claims, right? Year three will come, and when you have to renew after that, your claims history will inform what your rate will be, right? If the situation was assessed and it looked like it was just a one-off thing, really, it's not too likely this is going to happen again, then your rate may not change too much. If it's the assessment is that something has changed in the environment surrounding your home that makes it more likely that that kind of flooding could happen again, the rate could be different.
Okay.
It could go up.
I'm assuming that just with life insurance, if your risks are higher, your premiums are higher. Meaning if you know you have diabetes and you have heart problems and there's a history of that in your family, your risk factor is higher, therefore your premiums will be higher. But it does not necessarily mean that you'll be excluded from getting insurance. You just have to pay more than the average person. So I'm assuming the same logic applies to homeowner insurance. If I live in a flood-prone area where chances are rainfall, two drop of rain, I am going to get some kind of flood. I can't tell you how much, but yeah, it's called flood-prone for a reason. Are those persons entitled to insurance?
Well, no one is entitled to insurance, right? So the same way with life insurance things, as you talked about, it has to be done before the risk occurs. And there are people who are denied life insurance simply because the company is not willing to take on the risk of you passing because you have too many risk factors that make the risk of your passing early too high. With homeowners insurance, it can be the same thing that happens. If you're in an area that could flood, has flooded maybe a couple times in the past, your rate could be higher. But it is also entirely possible that a company could decline to take on the risk of insuring your home and putting you back in the position you were if flood happens. That can happen if, as you said, it's more than flood prone. It's that we know rainfall has, this building is going to flood. That's just because that's how it's situated. And there's nothing that you've done in the building of your home to try and mitigate that risk. Or it could also happen that you're trying to insure your home. And remember, there are different insurance providers in this country. We have a few. If the provider you're going to has already insured, let's say, 10 buildings on the street where you are for flooding, they may have come to a position where they are not willing to take on any more risk in that area. Because, I mean, we know there are insurance companies that go belly up in the States when there's big catastrophic things, huge hurricanes and whole miles and miles of coastline destroyed. An insurance company has to shell that out. It's going to cost them, right? An insurance company may not be willing to take on insuring your home if it's in an area where they already are covering a lot of properties. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's. I know we just have about 5 minutes again before news. We have a couple calls. Let's squeeze in a couple calls to take us up to news, and then when we get back, I want to get a little deeper into this thing about excesses, how it works, how it's calculated, and everything else. Hello. Good morning.
Hi, morning. Okay. Just a quick question to the young lady there. Now, I was just waiting to get the comment on the question the guy asked or the comment he raised about the insurance companies on fully comprehensive insurance and not paying for new parts, paying for used parts. And quick question again, is there any other scenario than a win-win situation for insurance companies? Thank you.
So, I wouldn't speak to the vehicle insurance. That's a different segment on the parts and new parts versus used parts. But with insurance, you can insure on two bases. You can insure on a reinstatement basis where it's going to be based on what it's going to cost for you to rebuild your home completely, right? And you can insure on the basis of just replacing what was the market value of the home at that point if you're not intending to rebuild it. That's if we're talking about like a total loss of the business, like when a car is completely written off and you have to buy back all those parts, right? So it doesn't have to be one or the other. There are different ways that it can work. And the best thing that you can do is ask a lot of questions. Ask your insurance agent all of these questions so you know what you're going to be covered for and you have that peace of mind beforehand, right? If they don't know, make them go and find out and come back to you.
I think that's great advice because I've dealt with several people who found themselves in a situation that they didn't think they would, simply because they had in their minds one perception of what their insurance policy would have catered for. And when they drilled down, they realized that, well, what I thought and what exists are two totally different things. And unfortunately, we live in a world where there are some people who will not be as forthright with you because they're looking to make the sale. And the less question you ask them, the better for them. Well, for them, in some instances, depending on the agent that you have. Well, you're right. That's I think that people need to ask as many questions as they can, putting forward as many scenarios that are as possible, so that when stuff does happen, you have some sort of indication as to what is possible or not. But are these things not clearly outlined in the policy? So I'm taking out a fully, for want of a different term, a policy on my home. The person talking about cars, so let's use that as an example. Fully comprehensive. And I insure my car for a value of whatever it is. I'm expecting that it's because it's a new car that I have, that I will be, if something goes wrong, compensated with new parts. But is that not clearly defined somewhere in the policy as to if there is an accident or what or not, how it's adjudicated upon?
It could be clearly written in the policy. But you see, Satish, you said a word there that's important, that you're expecting, right? You can, it's only fair for you to expect if you understand how something works. And nobody teaches insurance in schools.
They don't, actually.
Nobody teaches, grows up. No parents sit their kids down and teach them about, okay, this is how this insurance works. This is the insurance you should have. We don't do that. So shout out to all the insurance mom followers who follow all the videos that I post on all these platforms. That's what we're trying to change, right? To have a fair expectation, you have to have a fair understanding. So it's important to take the time to try to find out on your own. This is 2023. Everything is online. There's 1 minute videos to teach you all sorts of things, right? So if you take the time to try to understand yourself, you put yourself in a better footing where you're not going to be disappointed, but what's more important is that you're not going to be angry because you started from a misunderstanding.
We need to head to the news, but when we get back, ladies and gentlemen, we continue our discussion with our special guest, insurance advisor Nicole Chaitan-Kisoon, and take more of your calls. I've got some of your messages to read as well as we continue our discussion.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.
4.5 minutes after 8, into the final hour of our show here this morning. With us speaking, the importance of insurance, home insurance in particular, insurance advisor Nicole Chaitan-Kisoon. Before we went to the break, we had a couple interesting questions and comments. And for those of you wanting to join the conversation, feel free to do so. Somebody asking for clarification on the different types of excesses that are available. You explained why an excess might be in place, you know, to weed out some of the frivolous claims that persons may make. But are there different categories of excesses?
My insurance policy is like what I keep saying. Home insurance is like any other type of insurance. It's a personal thing and it can be a case-by-case thing. Right. So it's going to what type of excess, how much your excess is going to be can differ from one provider to the next. And it can differ from what type of coverage to the other. Let's stick to the two broad categories that the listeners are talking about and aware of, that if it's just a homeowner's policy or versus if it's a fire and theft policy for a property that is both a home and a business. So it can differ. Yes. And with property insurance, not just homeowner's insurance in particular, there's wiggle room, you want to say, depending on what kind of relationship you have with the provider you're going to. Do you have other insurance with them? Have you insured with them previously? Things like that.
Okay. Let's look at some of our messages sent into 306-1065. And there are a lot of them. Somebody sending a message, which probably should get your comments on. Disposable income is quickly becoming a thing of the past. That affects some people who would like to take out insurance, and particular house insurance. We know that COVID-19 took a real, many people took a real hit. I'm sure that there would have been instances where the insurance industry saw policies lapsing of all different kinds because people just couldn't simply afford it. What's the situation now post-COVID?
Well, I can speak to less to the property side of it and more to the personal insurance side of it, where insurance happens. But that's the company where I work with was very aware and as accommodating as I could expect anyone to be to those situations, right? That with insurance, you have to pay a premium to keep a policy in force. And we saw instances where large numbers of clients couldn't pay those premiums because where they worked was closed. They had no income coming in, or they lost their jobs completely, or their hours were reduced. And the company kept policies in force long past where it would have lapsed previously. The typical situation is you have a personal insurance policy, 2 months passes and you miss your payments, the policy will lapse. And the company extended that. So policies were held in force and claims were paid where as much as 6 months worth of premiums were in arrears. But because the company was understanding what was going on, the policies were held in force. But, I mean, as much as people like to view insurance companies as the villains, when it comes down to it, it's a business. And that perception comes from a misunderstanding of how the business works. No business can run providing a service, in this case, a guarantee, for free in perpetuity. They must have money coming in. So those allowances were gradually rolled back to where we're now, we're post-COVID, things are open, people are trying to get back to normal, the insurance companies have to do the same thing. So we're coming back to where the grace period is what it was before. You have 2 months. If your policy falls into arrears beyond that, then you will lose the coverage because we cannot give something for free.
Somebody asking a question here as to whether or not, as you spoke about risk, and you were saying that risk would impact someone's being insured or not. What about PVC ceiling? Because this person is saying, if their house has PVC ceiling, can they be insured? Would an insurance company take that risk?
I'm not too sure where that misconception has come from, but yes, PVC ceiling, it doesn't disqualify you from getting insurance, right? Mm-hmm. So it's one of those things that your insurance advisor will come here, will walk through your home, you'll make a note of it, and you'll go through, but it just factors into the assessment of risk for your home, but doesn't disqualify you at all, no.
Okay, great information. Let's see what else we have. Somebody saying, good morning from New Jersey. Yes, it's mandatory you get insurance. You also need it before the banks will give you a mortgage, and if you don't have it, you can't get a mortgage. So they were talking about homeowners insurance in the U.S. Let's talk about financial institutions and homeowners insurance or house insurance, whatever you want to describe it as, here at home. How does it work? Do you have to get that when you, let's just say, going for a mortgage, with the bank's mandate that, listen, you need that insurance before we can qualify you for this mortgage?
Truthfully, I wish that all lending institutions would, right? But in Trinidad, they don't. They've been starting to a bit more. The one I hear people come to me most often is that they go to TTMF and TTMF tells them, no, you don't need homeowners insurance to cover it. Some credit unions have been starting to ask for it more. But what it comes down to is whether it's mandatory or not, it's something you should have. Because you don't want to find yourself in the situation as a homeowner where you have your home. We're talking about your dream home now, not something you might be able to finance through TTMF. You're going to a bank, taking out a mortgage. Your dream home is there and standing. Then a flood happens and everything on the ground floor in your house is destroyed. You still have to pay your mortgage first. And now you have all of these additional expenses to try and replace those things. But because you decided homeowners insurance wasn't mandatory from the bank when they gave you the mortgage, you don't have it. So you're paying a big mortgage payment to the bank, and you're not paying it for the walls and the beams and the porcelain tiles on your floor. You're paying a mortgage to the bank so that you can have the comfort of your home. But because you didn't insure it because it wasn't mandatory, you don't have a home. You have walls and floors that need scrubbing and nothing to sit on.
I understand. I have a couple other messages here, but there's one that I think we should address. And it deals to people's perception about insurance in general. We know that there are a lot of horror stories that people have when it comes to insurance and their claims and whether they get what they expect after paying premiums, which is a long period of time. And the question is, what about insurance agencies, companies, I'm assuming, who accept the risk and premiums and then don't pay when it's time? Let's just say someone finds themselves in such an unfortunate circumstance for whatever reason. There are discrepancies in the claim that somebody thought that they probably weren't truthful when they were being assessed and all of these kinds of things. What is available to a policyholder to seek redress if they believe that they're being unfairly treated? Because I think this strikes at the core of people trusting the process. Many people don't think, and let me just say many, there are some people who don't think that they have any kind of recourse when it comes to them being fairly treated, what's available to a policyholder who believes that, listen, I'm not satisfied with what the insurance company has said to me, where do I go?
Well, Satish, this conception, I hope that it would have changed, this misconception, over time, especially with the changing of the Insurance Act. The insurance on the whole now is a much more regulated practice than it was before. And there is redress. Everything that insurance companies do now are regulated through the central bank. So come down through the offices from there to your ombudsman and all of that. There is redress for persons who have problems with a claim or feel that even after they've everything has been explained to them, they still feel that what was decided wasn't fair to them. There is redress. You can go into your ombudsman, you can make your way up through the chain through the central bank, and both companies and agents will be held to account, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Another question here. What are the requirements for getting home insurance? I'm not sure if we covered this morning, but probably we should repeat to the persons who joined us late.
It essentially, if you're talking about homeowners insurance for the property and the building, the structure itself, so you the requirement is that you are the homeowner, that the deed is in your name, because that means that there's a legal basis that if damage occurs to the home, you are the one that's incurring the loss. So the insurance company is accepting an illegal arrangement to reimburse you for the loss that will happen.
Another message here. This is about life insurance. I have contributed to a life insurance for over 15 years. I've earned my contributions and the policy was canceled. Do I have options?
All right. I'm happy that the life insurance question is more of my favorite. This is going to depend a lot on what type of policy you have, because just like there's different types of homeowners insurance, there's different types of life insurance policies. The bare bones of it is that if you what you are paying for is only the financial risk that would happen if you died, then you're not going to get anything back from the policy. If the policy included other features like something going into savings or some of your premium automatically being invested, then you could have something to get. But the important part there is that what you're getting back, you're not being refunded from the insurance. You're getting something back because something was invested. There's a difference between insurance and investment.
Mm.
Right?
So that would basically, if I'm correct, it would be the, as people say, the value of the policy at that point in time based on the investment.
If it had
element.
A cash value. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah. I mean, just like with people, the thing is, what surprises me is nobody ever asked that about car insurance. Nobody ever expects that if you pay for car insurance, which is to cover the risk that your car is damaged or you damage someone else's car while you're driving, if you pay it for a whole year, you drive for a year and you have no accidents, nobody is going back to the company and asking for a refund on what they paid for the car insurance for the year. There's an understanding that what you're paying as an expense is for to cover a financial risk that you can't keep enough cash on hand to cover. I mean, I don't know about you, Satish, but I'm not going to keep $200,000 sitting in an account in case I write off somebody's SUV. But if I pay my car insurance and it happens, I know the insurance company will pay for it, right? So life insurance is the same thing. You're paying primarily to cover the risk. Let's say you have two small kids at home and your wife has decided to stay home with them. You have life insurance that doesn't include savings or investments. So it's not something that builds cash value. What you're paying every month is for the peace of mind and the assurance that if you die, and all the income that you would have earned over your lifetime to provide for them, it dies with you. You can't keep that much money on hand to provide for them in the event that you die, but the insurance company will provide it because you paid for the premium.
I fully understand what you're talking about, and I fully understand some of the challenges that people have when it comes to insurance. And I'll tell you this. I actually was involved in insurance, one of the major companies, many, many years ago. And I find that the people who need insurance most are the most reluctant to get it. The people who can benefit the most from what insurance can offer are most times the ones who need the most convincing. And that's a sad reality that we have to confront one way or the other. We're coming close to the end of our interview here. And I know that we started off with home insurance, And we segued a bit into the other types, car insurance, life insurance, and everything else. And our discussion here has been very wide-ranging. But let's give some advice to people on insurance in general, making that decision to secure your family, making the decision to secure your investment, something that you would want to leave a legacy, for want of a different term, financial and otherwise. And tell people, give people some advice as to why, if they're still on the fence, as to why they should start a discussion with someone to find out whether or not this is something they can use to their advantage.
Oh, because it comes down to what we started our discussion with. The biggest piece of advice is wealth, earning wealth, creating wealth, accumulating wealth has two parts. It's not just about how big of a salary you can earn. It's not just about how comfortable, how beautiful of a house you can provide. It's about the home. It's about keeping what you've earned. It's about keeping everything that you want to pass on. Because when it comes down to it, that is what we're all working for. We're working to be able to progress beyond where we started. My mother worked insanely hard with a single-minded purpose of getting me to the position in life that I am in today, where I have opportunities that she didn't have. That is what I want for my sons. I want my sons to never turn down an opportunity because they don't have the resources to do it. The first part of achieving that is me being able to earn enough. The second part is being able to protect it so that I know I will keep it and I can pass it to them. And that's what insurance is for.
Mm. Okay, this is where we're going to drop the curtains on our interview here this morning. Nicole Chaitan Kisun, thank you so much for being with us here this morning and for sharing some insight. It definitely was an interesting chat. Thank you once again for being our special guest here this morning.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.